On this episode of Still Loading, we go to the Isle Delfino. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Koval, and today on the show, it is the final episode of Mario Month. Yes, a short Mario Month, but I'm a father now. Well, at the time we are recording this, I am not a father yet, but I don't have time for this stuff, so I'm recording so far in advance. It's wild. And with me today, as per usual for our Mario Month, is Casey. Casey, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you very much for having me. I always love coming on.
I love having you on. It's also a good excuse for us to hang out again, especially because we haven't seen each other since before the pandemic. In fact, you were the last person I saw, the last friend I hung out with prior to everything going into lockdown, because we went to a hockey game together. And then the next day, everything went into lockdown.
The last game that they had in person.
The last Flyers game, right?
Last Flyers game, yep.
It was wild. I mean, it sucks they lost. I mean, I have a theory that I'm just bad luck because the last couple games I've gone, they've lost. Well, the other game that we went to together was the year before. It was the season the St. Louis Blues won the cup.
Oh, that's right. We were in the suite.
We were in the nice, like it was in the second level suite, like the premium boxes that we were, your girlfriend at the time had free tickets to from her dad's work or something like that.
Yeah, her dad, yeah.
And so we went there, and then the Flyers got shut out 4-0 by the St. Louis Blues, and that started the Blues winning streak to go on to that was the game where Jordan Binnington first started their goalie of the future. That was his first game in the NHL.
Wow! And
shut the Flyers out.
We always go at like the most unique times.
I know, right? Oh, yo, that is right. Now it's the last two in a row that we've gone together. That's crazy though. But anyway. So yeah, you're the last friend I hung out with before the pandemic, and that's just crazy to think about. It's been almost it'll be a year by the time this episode comes out.
Yeah, wow, it's insane.
It's insane to think about.
So
but
surreal.
We are talking about a classic Mario game, and this is originally for Mario Month. I wanted to go all the way up to Galaxy 2 for this. I wanted to cover a lot of the 3D games, but since we only got two, we did Mario 64 last episode, and we're going to be doing Super Mario Galaxy this episode. Sorry, not Galaxy. Sunshine. Super Mario Sunshine. I got Galaxy on the brain. Super Mario Sunshine was developed by Nintendo and released on July 19th, 2002 for the Nintendo GameCube. That release date is in Japan. In North America, it was released on August 26th, 2002. And in Europe and Australia, it was released in October of that same year. October 4th, Europe. October 11th, Australia. And yeah, so this one, I thought, for just to kind of start off, I just thought this was an interesting game because it was the first Mario game that didn't launch with the console. If you think about it, Super Mario Bros. Launched with the NES, Super Mario World, Super Nintendo, Super Mario 64, and 64. But this one, the launch game for GameCube was Luigi's Mansion. That was the closest thing they had to it. Great game, but it's not a Mario game. And this didn't come out for almost a full year after the launch of the GameCube. And in fact, because it was later than that, the GameCube was actually lagging in sales. I mean, it lagged in sales throughout its lifetime, but they rushed the development of this game. And in all honesty, it really shows. It's a good game. Don't get me wrong. It's still good, but it doesn't have the same level of polish that you've seen in other Mario games. What are your thoughts on it though?
So this was one of the games back in 02 when I was 12 at the time that I was really, really looking forward to because, as mentioned on the previous episode, I didn't have an N64 growing up. I was a Super Nintendo and PS1 kid back in the day. So I had a GameCube during this time and I really, really wanted this game. I remember when GTV, I don't think they're a thing anymore. I remember watching GTV and seeing
They're coming back, I think. Are they? Or is it G4 or something like that? Was that where it was?
I'm not thinking of. I think you're right. I think it's G4. Yeah. So I remember following G4 in extended play and seeing the previews for this game and really getting hyped for it. And then that summer, I ended up getting it. I think I saved up my allowance or something because I don't know. Like, my parents wouldn't just buy it for me since it wasn't like a holiday or my birthday or anything. So, yeah, the thing, I had to wait actually further to play because at the time my GameCube wasn't working and I thought maybe it was the discs, but it actually ended up being the disc drive. So I'm like, oh, well, this will prove it. Get the new game, went to Kmart, got it, put it on. Oh, disc error. I'm like, oh, great. So I had to wait until I got a new GameCube that Christmas. So had the game sitting on the shelf. I'm like, oh, well, wonderful.
Just sitting and just staring at you.
But I remember just loving it. I like how it was a new approach. It's unique since you need the flood. You need flood in order to go through everything. I remember my one friend at the time growing up, he also had it, and he was a big Animal Crossing fan. And I remember back on Toonami, they had this thing. They would do like a 30-second review of a game, and then they would rate it. And Animal Crossing got like a 9 out of 10 on their review. And Super Mario, and I would always get in arguments with him, like playful arguments, saying like, ah, Super Mario Sunshine is better than Animal Crossing. And it's like, today, it's like, first of all, they're apples and oranges, and like, who cares?
And then, that is a weird hill to die on.
Like, yeah, I'm like, all right, two whatever.
Completely different games.
Exactly. So, and the 1 week, Mario Sunshine got 9.5 out of 10. And I'm like, see, I told you, even Toonami said it.
It's a half point bigger dick than yours.
Exactly. But as a kid, this was the, well, like I said, I didn't have N64. So this was the only game that I had. I'm sorry. This is the game that I got all 120 shine sprites. And I just did it again about 2 months ago when 3D All-Stars was just released. So
this game, just to kind of talk about, you brought it up already, but let's talk about like the biggest difference to any other Mario game really is the flood. FLUDD, which stands for Flash Liquidizer Ultra Dousing Device. Or flood, and it's just a water cannon, and it adds a bunch of different movement and versatility options to the game, because normally Mario can just run, jump, do a couple dive attacks, you know, maybe punch or something like that, but the flood allowed him to hover. It allowed him to shoot the water cannon. You could aim specifically with it, almost like Mario had to stay still, but it was like this kind of over the shoulder, almost first person mode where you could shoot the flood and aim where it needs to go. I didn't like that because I was always bad at it, but it makes sense why you'd have to do it for certain elements. And it was interesting because not many other Mario games really give you a power up that is permanent. This is essentially a power up that's no longer a power up because you have it for the entirety of the game, just about. And am I correct? Are there any other power-ups? Are there any power-ups in this game?
No, not to my recollection.
No, there's... No. They got rid of...
I don't know if it's considered a power-up, but Flood can change into like a turbo nozzle or... I can't think of the proper names, but he can turbo up to get the high platforms, or if you're in the water, you can kind of get like a like I said, I don't remember the name.
Like a speed boost type of thing.
Yeah, like a speed booster thing, so you can like, you know, navigate through the water and everything. If you're on Yoshi, you can squirt juice to access certain pipes that have what? You can shoot juice at flames that dissolve, and you can access certain things. So, I guess they're considered power-ups, but for no fire flowers, no mushrooms, no wings, nothing like that. No cap.
Well, now, can you lose any of those, like the power nozzle or the? I mean, obviously, you lose all the stuff with Yoshi if you're not riding Yoshi. But like in general, can you lose the power nozzle or anything like that, or is it just a permanent? Once you get it, it's there permanently.
It's there permanently, but there are some levels that Baby Bowser as Shadow Mario steals Flood from you, where you have to.
Oh, I didn't even know Baby Bowser was Shadow Mario. Spoiler alert, I have not beaten this game.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. I'm not worried about a spoil. I'm not worried about a story spoiler for a Mario game.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, so there are levels where he steals Flood from you and you have to go through the level without using Flood.
I actually looked that up. They did that because for those specific areas, they're kind of like little 3D, linear 3D areas, which is super tough platforming, some of them. Like, they do some really tough platforming to you in that. Mm-hmm. And to you, sorry, but it's some tough segments, some tough stages. And they took that away because they thought the Flood would make it too easy. So they took Flood away purposely, so that way you couldn't just hover over the difficult spots and you actually had to do classic N64, Super Mario 64, Mario platforming and try to, you know, bounce your way across that.
And it is true because after you get all the shine sprites within a level, you can go back to those secret levels where Shadow Mario steals it. But with those, you actually have Flood, and then you have to hit a button and you have to collect all 8 coins. Once you get all 8 coins within a time limit, that's when you get the next shine sprite. So you can do it, but it's a little bit, it's even more challenging because you're pressed against the clock.
There's a lot of hidden stuff in this game too. The blue coins is the big thing that comes to mind. You didn't collect all the blue coins though, did you?
I did. You need to in order to get all the shine sprites.
Really?
Yeah.
And those coins are hard to find too.
Yeah, I had to go to the internet to find some of them. So
I believe it. How many coins are there?
Let me think. There are 30 coins per 30 coins per land. I want to say 300, maybe.
I'll look it up real quick.
Yeah, I can't.
I'll see if I can look it up real quick. There's 20 in Isle Delfino, 30 blue coins in each world, 210 total.
210, okay.
And then 10 blue coins in Corona Mountain. So I'm wondering if it's like, that's 210 for each of the worlds, because there's 7 worlds. Then you add the 20 to that's 240 blue coins.
That makes sense, yeah.
That's insane. That's so many coins. And they're all hidden. So you have to get all 240 coins to get all 220 shines.
You will get 22 shines just from 220 blue coins, because 10 blue coins you trade them to a merchant, he'll give you one shine.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, that is intense. That's no thank you.
But I had so much fun with it, I didn't even care. I'm like, yeah, more time for me to play the game again.
See, for me, this game doesn't hold up as much for me, but we'll get into that. Actually, you know what? Let's start off with the reason why it doesn't hold up, because that's one of the things we start off with anyway, is the controls, like the overall feel of the game. Mm-hmm. I think this is the worst controlling Mario I've ever played.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. So at least I might try it again on. I have a copy for the GameCube, which is somewhere behind me. But at least the Switch port of it, because I don't remember much of the GameCube version, of the original version, and how it controls. But at least on the Switch port, it's so floaty. Like, Mario has too much inertia, so when you let go of the joystick for him to stop moving, he doesn't stop moving right away. He moves a little bit further because the inertia carries him, and I'm not okay with that, because it forces the player to kind of adjust their timing for that, and I don't like that. Like, I've died more times than I care to admit, because I'd be running forward, see I have to stop, so I hold back, but then he just keeps on sliding forward and then falls off. And it's not like he's stopped and he's sliding forward. It's not like he's sliding because he stopped and he's trying to go the other way. He's just still running forward, even though I've already hit back.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I did this in time, but not according to the game's logic. And I just don't like that. I've died a lot of times because the controls just don't feel right.
Now, this was on the 3D All-Stars game that you were...
Yes.
Okay. I'm thinking, well, maybe, and I could be wrong, but I would try it again on 3D All-Stars, because they just released a new firmware. Do you have the adapter? The Wii adapter? Or, I'm sorry, the GameCube adapter?
I don't think I do. No, okay. I don't.
Okay, I thought maybe I had Smash, but
I actually have Smash, and I actually have the GameCube controller that came with Smash. I actually am looking at the box for that controller. At least I was. It should be up there. Anyway, I have the box, and I have it that it has a little Smash icon there. But then I didn't realize that it was just that when I bought it, I didn't do enough research, and I didn't realize it was just a GameCube controller, and you had to buy the adapter separately. Mm. So I was like, oh, okay, so I guess I have to find this. Never bothered finding it.
They have a they're Game Junkie. They're pretty cheap, but they released a new firmware update for 3D All-Stars so you can actually play with the GameCube controller for some.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, that's great, because actually it's funny. I was watching a Did You Know Gaming on this, and they were saying about how the Miyamoto loved the GameCube controller. He thought it was going to be the new standard for controllers. Obviously, it didn't pan out that way. But once again, the game was really designed around the use of the GameCube controller. And on the Switch port of it, it originally did not offer support for the GameCube controller. But I guess, like you just said, there was just that firmware update that allows it, which is kind of cool. I don't know. It was the controls that really ruined it for me, man. Like, there was just so many times where I felt like my deaths were not because of something I screwed up on. And whenever it gets to that point, I have to start thinking about, like, all right, is it really the game or is it really me? And I don't mind that. I don't mind that thought. Perfect example of the time where it's 100% me and it's not the game. I get really mad at Ghost of Tsushima. I was telling you off mic, I've been hooked on that game and I'm playing it nonstop, trying to beat it before the baby gets here. And I've died so many times, but I've never felt once that it was the game's fault. I will say sometimes when I'm trying to deflect or block it, like the L1 button just isn't responding. And I don't know if it's the controller or the game, but 99% of the time I feel in control. And when I die, it's because I'm not being smart with my decision-making, you know, like, especially in that game, to dodge attacks, you need to hit circle once, not twice, because you'll dodge roll. But if you hit circle once, then you'll dodge and be able to attack. I too often will like panic and like just smash the circle button a bunch of times. So he'll dodge roll right into another enemy. And then I get lit on fire or something like that. But that's my fault, because instead of taking the finesse approach, of dodging a simple attack and then attacking back, I just rolled into another oncoming attack that I didn't see because I was being too panicky. Versus this, where it's like, I'll see what I need to do, and then I'll run and do it, and then something stupid will happen, and just you die. In fact, what is it? I was laughing at this of a guy I had on the podcast, Xwater on Twitch. He tries to do these deathless runs of Super Mario All-Stars where he beats Sunshine, 64, and Odyssey in one shot, like all the way through, just no deaths. And he starts with Sunshine every time because Sunshine is the jankiest. Like, there's so many times where he'll land on a platform and then just slip through and then die. And to bring it back, I honestly think a lot of that has to do with the shortened development time. Like, they were crunched real bad at the end of it because they had to get it out to kind of help the GameCube with in terms of sales numbers. And because of that, I feel the game just had lacked so much polish. Like, the controls probably could have been polished up a little bit more. Some of the things where it's like some of the, like, I guess you can even say collision boxes, because it's clear, like, you can just like fall through levels at times. I know watching Game Grumps do their run of Super Mario Sunshine, Aaron Hansen or Ego Raptor was getting so mad at the pachinko levels because he would like do something and then it would just shoot him off in the other direction.
People hate that level, and I honestly don't think it's the worst level in the game, because if you just position yourself correctly, you can get into all the slots to get the red coins. I had no problems with it. The level that I hate the most is the Poison River. You have to get there through Yoshi, but when you're there, you have to stay on a leaf, like a lily pad.
Mm-hmm.
You can't touch the water at all because you'll die. It's really hard to control. So basically, you go from point A to point B on a lily pad, and you have to collect 8 coins to get the star. So it's really hard to maneuver the lily pad. And if you're on the lily pad for too long, or if it hits the sides like more than once, it'll sink and you go into the water and then you're dead.
Okay.
So I found that one to be the most frustrating.
Did you find the levels where the flood gets taken from you to be difficult too?
Yeah, there were some that were just like, oh my gosh. But it was one of those things where it's like, okay, I know I can do this. Mm. Where with the lily pad level, the poison river, I'm just like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to do this. And then eventually I did. But
what are some of your other favorite levels? Because like I said, you're the one, I was telling you off mic, you beat this. I have not. So I've played it. That's why I was commenting on the controls. And I do plan on going back and playing more of it because I did like what I played. It just wasn't as good. It's like, this is still a good game. There's still a really good game underneath all the problems I have with it. But it just, a lot of it is just hard for me to set aside time to play it when there's other games that I think are better polished and things that I enjoy playing more.
And that's the thing. You brought up a good point as to, you know, it was a time crunch. They should have spent more time, you know, polishing a game rather than just releasing it as is. And I'm also, obviously, I'm sure there are reasons as to why they didn't do this. But I wonder if they waited a couple months till like November, December, around like the holiday season. Like, I'm sure GameCube sales would have went up during that time along with the game. So I don't know, but
you're right, because this was released in July and August. I wonder if they released in the summer because it's a more summer feeling game.
That's a good point. Yeah, it might be.
And that kind of brings me to my next point, though. The things that I really like, realistically, the only thing I don't like about it, and it really kills it for me, is the controls. Mm-hmm. And some of the gameplay aspects of it, but the controls obviously are a direct correlation to that, directly in relation to that. But the music and the aesthetic and the overall atmosphere of the game is just so good. Like, I love the music for Delfino Plaza. It is one of my favorite.
He's run around grabbing fruit, just throwing it in baskets. Yeah. Yeah, you can't get blue coins.
I actually did some of those because I was exploring around Delfino Plaza. Let's talk about Delfino Plaza. I am mystified by that place in a good way. There is so much to do there. It's basically it's a hub world connecting all the other worlds you play through, but it's basically a world in and of itself. There's so many hidden shines and blue coins and like different places to go. Like, I don't know, like, how did you, do you enjoy exploring around Delfino Plaza?
I did when I was doing the, I don't want to say side missions because it's not a mission, but like the side
quests,
if you want to call it. Yeah, just, you know, getting the blue coin, seeing those boarded up shine sprites, you know, getting the 10 red coins as fast as you can, going underground and collecting coins and oh, and I finally figured it out. It was the rocket nozzle and the turbo nozzle. They're two different ones when we were going back to the power-ups.
Okay.
Yeah, my fault.
No, it's all good.
I did enjoy it. It's I understand why they after you lose a life, they throw you back into Delfino Plaza. But when I was playing it a lot, I was just like, I don't want to go through all this again. Like, just put me at the beginning of the level. And then if I want to quit, then I'll quit and go back to Delfino Plaza. But yeah, it was cool.
I like the whole vibe of it. I like the whole vibe of the vacation aesthetic of Mario, like Mario and his like, his blue. Oh, he was, apparently there was like a whole argument of like trying to get Mario into a like a more vacation type of outfit, like a vacation, like a Hawaiian shirt or something like that. But at the time, Miyamoto was like, no, you can't get rid of that look. That's like everything, you know, like he's known for his, you know, his blue jumpsuit and red shirt or whatever.
Well, you can get the Hawaiian shirt toward the end of the game when you collect a certain amount of sprites.
Okay. Sprites or star or shines?
Shine sprites, shines. Yeah.
Okay.
You're called the shine sprites, but yeah, you're right.
Okay. Sorry. See, once again, ignorant person didn't finish the game.
No, totally cool. And you can also get sunglasses too. When you get a certain amount of, and it, basically what it does, it just makes Mario look cool and it darkens the screen just a little bit. It's kind of like a tint. But Sorry, I'm kind of rambling, but do you have any, because it's relevant to what I'm about to ask, but do you have any, I guess what I would call like playground game rumors that you remember growing up? Or like, I remember, like, just to kind of give you an example, like, oh, if at the end of Melee, when all the credits go, if you shoot all the credits, you can unlock like Sonic the Hedgehog, like just stupid rumors like that.
I want to do an episode on playground rumors. I just don't know if I have enough to like fill like at least like an hour or something, but I don't have anything for this one. I did. There wasn't too many for me because in elementary school for me, I didn't play video games in elementary school, and it wasn't because I didn't like them. It's just because I didn't have them, you know? Mm-hmm. I got my first console when I was 10, which would have been Christmas of 99, which means that was like fifth grade for me. I think it was like fifth grade is when I got it. And yeah, because I remember going to like I was the first class because my quote unquote class of fifth graders graduated elementary school. Because we our middle school starts at sixth. Most other districts I found start at like seventh grade, but for us it started at sixth. And so we were the first graduating quote unquote class of the elementary school to graduate in the year 2000. We were the 2000 class or whatever. So by that point we didn't have recess anymore really, and so the only games I really had were Donkey Kong 64. And by that point, there was only like 3 months left. So I didn't really meet any friends who also played video games at the time. So unfortunately, I didn't get to experience any. I heard years later about, you know, like how to get Mew and Pokemon and stuff like that and all the different things. And of course, you know, like the classic, you know, my uncle works at Nintendo or my dad works at Nintendo or something like that.
Because the one that I heard for this game is my one friend who I still talk to every now and then. Now that I think about it, it's actually really funny. Well, he said it had to do with the sunglasses in Mario. Because I think when you get 60 sprites or 60 shines, 60 or 70 shines, maybe not. Maybe it's less than that. Anyway, you get sunglasses. You have the option to wear the sunglasses. And he said that the reason why they did that is because the screen became too bright for players and they started seizing out.
What?
Yeah.
So the screen got too bright. So instead of giving sunglasses to the people playing it, they gave Mario sunglasses.
He said the more shines that you get, the brighter the screen gets. And they put the sunglasses in the game so people wouldn't have seizures because the screen was too bright.
What?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I'm like, okay, yeah, like not true, but funny.
I didn't have anything like that. I had a really creepy, not version of that, but like just thinking of, so whenever I think of like video game rumors and like that kind of stuff, I think of this kid that I used to go to middle school. I was friends with in middle school and junior high named Chris. And he would help me through like Majora's Mask and stuff. Like we became friends. He was, I credit him with like being one of the worst influences in my life, because this is going to get vulgar, folks, just as like, because it just to give people at least a little bit of a forewarning. He, like, I remember being in like sixth or seventh grade and he's like, this is what a blowjob is. But yeah, he told me that. I'm like, what? Ew. And it was like grossed me out so bad. And it was just like, that's the type of person he was. So whenever I think of like those video game rumors, he was the kid that had every console. He had an N64. He had his brother had a Dreamcast. He also had a PlayStation. So he had it all. I was so jealous of him. And I was invited to his birthday parties and other stuff. Like we became pretty good friends. But like, I'll tell you a story off mic. The story I'm thinking of might be a little bit too gross to share on record.
You can do that to your listeners. Still
no, I'm going to. I'm going to. But it's just, oh my God, that kid. So I didn't get any of the fun experiences. I just got this fucko. And it just was not great. That's all. I'll leave it at that.
I had a friend who I still see every now and then. He lives locally. That was like that growing up. He was from an Irish family, so he had a lot of brothers and sisters. I think he was like one of like 11.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he was one of the younger ones. So he knew like all these crazy terms and this and that. And all I'm going to say is, I mean, you can cut this out if you want, but it's similar to what you were saying, but he would always say boner a lot in school. Mind you, this was like fourth grade. So I remember being at the dinner table. With my parents, and I went to my dad. I looked at my dad. I'm like, "Dad, what's a boner?" And my dad just lost it. He started cracking up. He like nearly spit out his food. He was dying.
Oh no, that's staying in. Okay. That's staying in. Like, oh my god, that's so funny.
He lost it.
Oh my god. Oh, that's so funny. That's so good. That's like when you first learn about, you know, like you go through sex ed when you're in middle school and junior high. And when I was learning about it, I, you know, being curious, I would ask my mom or I asked my parents, I was like, "So wait, does that mean you guys had sex for us to be born?" And they go, "Well, yeah." I'm like, "So you guys had sex three times?" And I was like so grossed out by it because, you know, me and my two brothers. And sure. They're like, "Yep, only three. That's it."
That was it.
That's it. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yep.
Oh my god, it was so funny. Oh, anyway, back to Mario
Sunshine. Yeah.
Happy children's game. But I didn't get any of those kind of fun like playground rumors with that kind of thing. I kind of missed the days of those playground rumors. I do think the last time I ever experienced that as an adult was with Pokemon Go.
Do you still play that game?
On and off. Not so.
Oh, I should add you. I still play it.
Yeah. No, I still play it. I play it on and off. Like, I haven't played it in a couple months, but I do play it on and off.
Well, I'll give you the turn code. But yeah, sorry, you were saying what for Pokemon Go?
Well, it just Pokemon Go gave you that same type of vibe because like there'd be so many people like, "Oh, I found this Pokemon over there," or "I found this Pokemon by that building," type of thing. And so you would just go run and be like, "Is that really over there?" Because you didn't understand how the technology worked at the time. I mean, I still don't, but I'm going to do an episode on Pokemon Go at some point because I do think it kind of warrants it. It was just, especially 4 years ago, the summer, almost 5 years ago now, when it came out in 2016, that summer was like, there was a joke I saw online, and I kind of agree with it. That summer was the closest we've ever gotten to world peace. Was the summer of Pokemon Go, because everybody, doesn't matter who, was like
being a kid again.
Yeah, and everyone's walking around like, "Yo, are you playing Pokemon?" And like, "Yeah, are you?" And like, "Yeah, I just saw a Charmander over there." And you'd go over, and it was great. Like, but I don't want to go into it right now. There's a whole episode that I want to do on Pokemon Go because I think it'd be a really good topic.
Yes. But
in any case, with Mario Sunshine, I didn't get any of those experiences, which is okay. But I think what really just kind of sticks out to me for it is just the goofy summer vibe of it. I really love how everything looks. I love that there's a whole population of people that exist there. I forget what they are called. Hold on. The inhabited by races of the Piantas and the Nokis. The Piantas and the Nokis. Those are the two
species, if you
those
want
to are the two species of people that go there. And so you get, I guess we could talk loosely about the plot too. You are going there on vacation, and when you get there, you're confused with this evil Mario who's been spraying graffiti all over the place and has been like polluting this pristine island like crazy. And so they give you the flood, and you have to clean up the island, even though you didn't do any of it. So your objective is to go and figure out who's behind this, who framed Mario to, which is honestly a cool plot device. I'm just gonna say, what do you think of it though?
It's different. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, as much as I love, you know, Mario and his games, I think when it comes to the creativity aspect with the story, I'm not really the biggest fan. When it comes to the story and the names of some things, I'm just kind of like, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think you can do better, because the gameplay and the creativity there just far surpasses everything else. So I'm just so focused on that, so to speak.
On the gameplay versus more than the story.
Correct. Yeah.
See, it's so funny because it's the opposite for me, where I'm more focused on like the atmosphere in the game and the story versus the gameplay itself.
Right.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Where do you rank this one overall? Like, where do you rank this one overall in terms of Mario games? Which one's your favorite? Is it World?
It might be World. That's the one I just like. That just changed my life. Just
I never get tired of playing it.
Yeah.
It's still fun.
For me, top five.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Because I grew up with it and I just like the game so much. I can understand, your perspective on it. Because you and I kind of share the same sentiment, but with different games. Like with me, I didn't have the biggest connection to 64 and I respect it today, but I still don't really care for the controls, but I definitely respect it today more than I did back when I was a kid. And I know that's the same with you with this game. So like, I get what you're saying.
It's funny because I actually like the controls of 64 and I don't like the controls of this, and you like the controls of this and don't
like it. I do,
yeah. 64. I actually think the flood kind of takes away a bit from the movement of the game. Like, I feel like it slows it down too much. I don't know why. Like, I like the idea of it. I just don't know if I like the implementation. I don't know what they could have done to make it better for me, but like, for some reason, it just feels uncomfortable is the best way I can describe it. I do like, though, one of my favorite things that you can do is the, like, where he kind of belly slides. Like, he'll spray a bunch of water underneath it, yeah, like underneath him, and he'll slide and you can go really fast. You ever watch speedruns of this game?
Some of them. And it's insane how many corners these people cut and just the techniques that they use just to shorten the time. It's insane.
Actually, in thinking of speedruns, know what's happening right as we are recording?
Is Games Done Quick on?
Just started literally at noon. Okay. Right now, they should be in the middle of a Mirror's Edge speedrun, and then they are going to be doing a Donkey Kong Country race.
I would watch that one, the Donkey Kong Country one.
That comes on in about 30 minutes or so.
That's on Twitch?
Yeah, it's on Twitch.
Okay,
and cool. Just Cause 3, Ratchet & Clank 2016, Mega Man X5 is this afternoon. Diddy Kong Racing, that'll be fun one to watch, actually. Metroid Zero Mission, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, that's all today. And then the full week, I'm excited. I love Games Done Quick Week. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year.
Yeah, I remember we would hang out there a couple times. Did we watch that live, or were we just watching like clips on YouTube?
We watched it live the one time. I forget what we were doing. I think we were recording another episode, actually. I think we were recording an episode at your place back when, you know, we could go to other people's houses.
Yeah.
And but yeah, there's holy shit. Saturday next week, they're doing a Celeste run. You know that platformer Celeste that's like stupid difficult? They're playing it with dance pads.
What?
If I'm reading that correctly, it says all seasides with dance pads. So I think they're playing it with the DDR pad, if I'm reading that correctly, or some type of dance pad. That's wild. Right. If they're doing that, that is wild. But in any case, and there is actually, to bring us right back into it, there is a Super Mario Sunshine speedrun on Friday evening.
Okay. I would love to
watch night, that one. 8:42 p.m. Eastern as of right now. But obviously that time fluctuates as they add in new things and whatnot. But yeah. So some quick notes real quick just about the development. This was the first lead directing role for Yoshiaki Koizumi, who he's done a lot of stuff with the Mario series, you know, later on. This is the first time he actually directly directed a game. And then Miyamoto and Tezuka, who were the former directors, were producers for this one. This was the first Nintendo first party game after Satoru Iwata became president. Rest in peace, buddy. I'm sure he would have liked to add some more polish to it. That dude was a genius programmer, man. Like, you ever see some of the stuff, some of the wizardry he did?
No.
So, you know how one of the best surprises in video game history is how in Pokemon Gold and Silver, they have the entire Kanto region hidden in the back of it? You know what I'm talking about?
I didn't know that. No, I didn't. I mean, I had Crystal growing up, but I don't think I...
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't think I got too much into it.
So in Gold and Silver, I didn't get into Gold and Silver all that much either. Nothing to do with the game. It's just like at the time they... I don't know. It's a long story. I have a weird relationship with those games. All of it is my fault. None of it's the games. But at the end of Gold and Silver, you could actually go and then do all of the, pretty much the entirety of the original game's Kanto region. Like you could, I believe you could do all the gym badges. You could do the Elite Four in that game as well. And the reason they were able to do that, fit essentially two games on one cartridge, was... Satoru Iwata. He came in and did some crazy technical wizardry and was able to somehow compress that game in the back end.
I would love to learn how to do stuff like that.
I know, right? It's wild. Some other cool stuff. A lot of the Delfino's design was inspired by France or Italy, so a lot of the team flew out there to kind of get ideas and inspirations for their designs. They apparently had a bunch of Yoshi features that they got rid of too. He apparently was going to be able to vomit water.
Interesting.
I know, right? Huh. There's a really good video on this game on Did You Know Gaming. They did a full, it's a pretty long, it's like 12 or 15 minutes of just like, did you, like little behind the scenes tidbits on Super Mario Sunshine. And there's a lot of stuff they were talking about, how like there's a lot of like toads and random stuff just hidden from the players that you shouldn't have been able to get to or see. But obviously with like glitches and hacking, you could see it. But like in Delfino Plaza, I think, or maybe it was Pinna Park. There is like, I think it's in Pinna Park. What, there's like a toad underneath it for some reason. That you there's no way you can get to normally, but he's just chilling there and you can talk to him if you can hack your way down to it. And Pinna Park was actually meant to be included with the Delfino Plaza hub world.
Oh,
I guess due to time constraints, they like we said, they had a strict time deadline for this one to help with the GameCube. So the video kind of postured that they most likely cut it from Delfino Plaza and had it create its own level. So that way, they wouldn't have to create a new level. They could just take some of Delfino and convert it into its own separate thing. So that's why Pinna Park is, well, I should say that's why, but it was supposed to be part of Delfino Plaza.
Mm. Cool.
And I think that kind of makes sense because Pinna Park feels a lot more open in a weird way.
Kind of. You know,
it's weird because like Bianco Hills is pretty open too, but it still feels like a level. You know, it doesn't feel like it's a hub world versus Pinna Park. Everything I've seen, it like, in fact, there's even places in Pinna Park where you can still see, like, it's hidden away, but if you can hack to it, you can see like some of the teleportation, you know, like the graffiti teleportation holes and whatnot.
Yeah, it's neat too. If you're in other levels, like just to give an example, if you're in Rico Harbor, you can see, if I'm not mistaken, like Pinna Park in the background, like out in the distance. And oh, really? I like how they did that. Or maybe it was I think it was Serena Beach, you could see Pinna Park in the distance. But yeah, you can see certain levels in the distance.
I love that level of continuity. I love it when games do that, where you can see, they kind of keep that immersion with you, where you can see places that you've been before or that you're going to go to. Mm-hmm. Uncharted did this really well too. Like as you progress through the original Uncharted game, as you climb up more of the island, you can see the locations that you were before. So it kind of gives this, it lends to the scope where it's like, I was actually there. Like I was just down there just a little while ago, which is really cool. And they, what is it? To kind of keep, I looked this up also on the Did You Know Gaming video. I believe it was Koizumi, the director, created a clay sculpture of the game, of Isle Delfino, mm-hmm. of the whole island. So that way you could, the game developers could kind of get an idea of like where everything would be placed. And I believe the name of the, it's no surprise that Delfino Plaza is in the or Delfino Island is in the shape of a dolphin. I don't know if Delfino is like a different word for dolphin. I wonder. Let me just Google Delfino and see if it's an actual word or Let's try Delfino translation. Yeah, it doesn't do much. So it's just a made-up word. But the island is a dolphin, and the code name for the code name for the GameCube was Dolphin.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't really have much else to say. We've talked about kind of the game's controls. We talked about some of what are some of your favorite levels? We haven't talked about some of your favorite levels. I like Bianco Hills, but like I said, I've only played the first couple.
I don't know if I have a favorite.
It doesn't have to be your total favorite, but just some of your favorites.
Yeah, some
like
of them.
Some highlights.
I do like Pinna Park. That's a fun one. Rico Harbor is kind of fun. Serena Beach can be fun at times, especially when you're in the hotel. But if you're like looking for certain things, like that can be a real pain. Mm-hmm. My least favorite level is Pianta Village.
Is that the one where it's like there's all that? It's like it's near a beach and there's like all the paint and like oil everywhere and you have to clear it all up. And then on top of that, it's like there's the stingray level. Is that where the stingrays are?
No, the one that I'm thinking of is you can ground pound and go underneath the island and like hand walk, I guess, or hand climb to mm-hmm. get certain things like just. And there are chain chomps in Pianta Village that you have to kind of maintain. And so,
I think I know what you're talking about.
I don't really care for that level. It's probably my least favorite.
For me, it was just some of the levels just felt too, I feel weird saying they're poorly designed, but the one that comes to like, I don't think Bianco Hills is poorly designed. I like the layout of that, but no, for me, like the one that sticks out is Rico Harbor because it feels like everything's just so disjointed. There's like this bizarre jungle gym that's just floating in the middle of the sky to the top right. And then you have this industrial district on the left. And then you have these boats that lead to, that you can ride squids around along, which is cool. But you have these boats that you have to like, you have this like water harbor section, which makes sense because it is a harbor, but it all feels so disconjointed. Like every other level, like Gelato Beach is fun. Like that feels all like, you know, all together. Serena Beach seems a little frustrating to me only because that's the one where I was thinking of with the Manta Storm. And like it has all those manta rays and you have to try to take them all out and the big one splits into small ones, which splits into larger one or smaller ones. And it just gets crazy by the end of it, which is how many are there.
Yeah.
And it just seems like I'm always impressed watching speedrunners do that section because it just seems impossible to me to do in some realistic semblance of time. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then, wow, so this game is not actually as long as I thought it would be. Like, it seems like there's less. I mean, there's 120 shines, but I'm just honestly, I guess I was just expecting there to be more levels than there actually is. There's still a lot to do in the game. Don't get me wrong. How long did it take you to beat it?
To beat, maybe like 15 or so hours, but to get the shot, everything. Probably over 40 to 50.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's how much I've logged into Ghost of Tsushima so far.
Love that game.
I'm so hooked on it, dude.
So good.
But anyway, I don't really got much else to say on it. Anything else that you want to bring up that we haven't talked about yet?
No. I know it's, sorry, I'm drawing a blank. It's an acquired taste for some people, I guess. That's probably the best way to put it. You know, I grew up with it, so I enjoy it, but I can definitely understand some of the criticisms if no one ever played it before and played it today. So, but yeah, overall, I love it. That's pretty much it.
Despite all my criticisms of it, I will say it's worth playing. I do think it's worth trying out. I do think, especially watching speedrunners of it, man, like this game is one of the most fun speedruns to watch. Just period. In fact, doing a little bit of research for this, I just was watching a speedrun just because I could see the levels more quickly than watching a long play. And granted, I'm seeing a very specific side of the game. I'm seeing the way that speedrunners can break the game, but it's still really cool. And I don't know. I think the game's super imaginative. I like the whole aesthetic they go for. I like that they tried something different with the flood, even though I don't think it works all that great, but I do respect the fact that it wasn't just them trying to, let's just make another Mario 3D Mario game with the same mechanics and just do something slightly different. Like they really broke the script and the mold for a Mario game with this one. And I think it's good that they did that because it allows them to be weird in other places. I think that games like this are super important for almost any ongoing franchise because it gives the developers a chance to try something different. And I say that because it can work out for their benefit or for their, you know, detriment. This one I don't think worked out quite to their benefit, but it also wasn't to their detriment. You know, I think it's just a, it just kind of evened out. But like a good example of something that flipped the script was the American Super Mario Bros. 2, you know, Doki Doki Panic. They completely different from what the other Mario games were, but it was similar enough that it still worked. And because of how different that was, it set the stage for a lot of attributes that we know in the Mario series today. Shy guys exist because of American Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 2. Also, the different like little attributes of all the different characters, like how Peach can jump high and float. Peach can float in the air. Luigi can jump really far. Mario's good all around. Toad can't jump far, but he's hella fast. And so it's stuff like that, like where they set these attributes and like these other tropes and traditions that started with that. And I think games like Mario Sunshine need to exist to do things like that, where it can force the developers to try something different and not be afraid to branch out and do something a little bit off script from what they're used to. And I could make the argument that the fact that they went so overboard with Flood in this, that it was this was what they used as kind of like, all right, well, we used Flood too much in Sunshine. So in Odyssey, when they have Cappy, let's not make him so over the top. And that's why I think it works, because Cappy, you literally transform into the other creature. So it kind of creates that disconnect that you're no longer Mario, you're this thing right now. Versus in Sunshine, you're always Mario, but you just have abilities that you've never seen Mario have before. So I feel like having that extra add-on like the Flood helped them kind of fine-tune what Cappy was going to become in Odyssey. I know that's years later, but Nintendo, you know, famously doesn't throw anything out. They keep everything in here. In fact, this was going to be called, what, Mario 128 or something like that? Like there was a...
Yeah, that ended up being like a code name for...
It was a tech demo.
Yeah, tech demo for the mechanics of certain games. Like I know they did it with...
Well, it turned into Pikmin. That's what Mario 128 turned into.
Yeah, they also said it had to do with... They utilized some of the mechanics of the tech demo in games like Metroid Prime and...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I was reading the article not too long after the episode that we just did. Was it a month ago?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But yeah, so I think that should do it. I think that's a good place to leave off at. So Casey, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Where can the good people find you online?
Sure. If they're interested in, you know, looking at my geekiness on Instagram, it's just a lot of memorabilia, video game related things. It's TK_Kazuyakane, KAZUYAKANE. So, yep.
As usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. If you want to reach out, you can contact me, StillLoadingContact@gmail.com, or you can also just reach out to me on any of the social media platforms. If you want to support the show, you can do that in a number of ways. If you want to support it monetarily, you can go to Patreon.com/StillLoadingPod. Even just $1 a month will help grow the show. But probably even more beneficial, and it would just take a moment of your time, is just to give it a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use. That helps more people find the show. It helps the show gain exposure. So definitely please consider doing that. And also, of course, the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of children receiving inpatient care at hospitals. So please consider donating. Go to bitbybitfoundation.org and check them out. And that will do it for this episode. Casey, thank you so much for this shortened, abbreviated Mario Month. We'll be going back, hopefully, you know, depending on scheduling, of course, but hopefully going back to the normal 4-week Mario month next year. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
And that will do it for this episode, and I will see you all next time.